What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Good morning indeed, ladies and gentlemen, live from the College Football Hall of Fame here in beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. This is the Rob Brown Show, live on the Fan Upstate, sponsored by our friends at Ingles, who pulled this together for us to get here. We appreciate it greatly. Our friends at Ingles love the prices, love the savings. Man, we have had a week, 3 days in the books, still one to go. We have had some incredible moments, some phenomenal interviews. We've gotten some fantastic sound nuggets from players and coaches and coordinators and commissioners and power figures that be from the landscape of college football. And I expect more of the same today. The four teams on the docket today, the four remaining teams in the Southeastern Conference. We will open it up around 9 o'clock with Kentucky and Missouri. Mark Stoops and Eli Drinkwitz, two coaches that enter this year not on the hot seat, but two coaches that could be very much on it by the end of the year. Now, I like Eli Drinkwitz a lot, and I know that there has kind of been some up-and-down years from the Missouri Tigers the last couple of years, but I really do like Eli Drinkwitz. The question mark is going to be, obviously, do they have the talent? This is the deepest, and I've said this to a number of times this week. I've had other folks here covering this league that have said the same thing. It feels like this is the deepest the Southeastern Conference has been in a long time. And the reason I say that is, I believed it already, but yesterday I got the link to submit my ballot for the projected order of finish in the Southeastern Conference, as well as the All-SEC team. So I sat down yesterday and was ready to rank all 16 teams, pick my All-SEC ballot, and then sat down to rank the 16 teams in the projected order of finish. And once I got down to number four, I had three clear top three. Although the top three were kind of in flux. Well, I should say the top two were in flux for me. I went back and forth between Georgia and Texas. I do think those are just the two best teams in this conference. Quarterback questions abound for both of them. But I do think they are overall the best two teams. Once I got to three, that was Alabama for me. I'm a Kalen DeBoer believer, okay? I know Lonzo's not, so we're going to learn a lot about this team this year. But I am a Kalen DeBoer believer this year. So I think Alabama, I put them at number three. I think that, another team with a question at quarterback. But I also think that's kind of the story of this conference this year. There are a lot of teams with a question to the quarterback. We had a listener yesterday make a point on the show that the reason Lenora Sellers is getting hype is he might be the most proven commodity at quarterback in this conference this year. We don't know what Arch Manning's going to be. We don't know what Ty Simpson's going to be. We don't know what Gunnar Stockton is going to be. And those are the other teams that are expected to be in competition for the title. Lenoris is the one guy that we have seen do it. He is the one guy that we have seen succeed doing it. So I think that there is something there. When I got to number four, I ended up with a stack of teams about eight deep that it was like all of these teams could end up anywhere from 4 to 12. And South Carolina's in that group. Anybody in this group could end up 4 through 12 in the projected order of finish. Now, why is that important? Because 4 and 5 have a very good shot at being playoff teams. If you're 4 and 5, you got a good shot at being a playoff team. I'm not sticking a record on that. I'm not sticking a record on that because a dude that covers this conference, David Nuno, TexAgs.com. I've been talking a lot about him this week. I got a lot of respect for David Nuno. He's been in this game 24, 25 years now. And has been covering the SEC the whole time. Nuno said in our interview earlier this week, does it not feel like, not that it is a probability, and not that it will happen, but does it not feel like it is possible that we could have two 9-3 teams, or a 10-2 and a 9-3 team in the SEC championship game this year? Because of the questions at quarterback, right? Because of Arch Manning, because of all those guys we just talked about. Doesn't it feel like we could theoretically have a 10-2, a 9-3 team, two 9-3 teams, maybe two 10-2 teams this year, and not have a couple of teams battling for 11-1 to get in, or a 10-2 and a 12-0? And I said, you know what? The more that I think about it, the more that that's true. And if that is true, if Georgia, if Texas, if Bama, if they all have 10-2, 9-3 records, we could theoretically have a conference that is stacked 1 through 12 with teams that are all 10-2, 9-3. Like, really, we could have a conference that from top to, from 1 to 12 have a bunch of teams that have are within one game of each other in either direction. And for a team that wants to send 4 or 5 teams to the 12-team playoffs, that could be very dramatic at the end of the year. So I think that is part of where the excitement about what's happening here at SEC Media Days comes from, is there are so many questions. So here's what we're going to do. Here in just a second, give you the water cooler cheat sheet, the top 3 sports stories you need to know before you get to the office this morning. In the next segment of the show, I am going to give you my projected order of finish for the Southeastern Conference. And then in the final segment of the show, in the final segment of the hour, I would like for you guys to tell me the teams I have too low. Tell me the teams I have too high. Tell me if I got South Carolina in the right spot or the wrong spot. We're going to do that to wrap up this hour of the Rob Brown Show. But it is 7:06 in the morning. I'm assuming that most of you have real jobs where you have to, like, put on collars and long-sleeve shirts and dress shoes, and you have to go to an office, and you have to sit down under the beautiful glow of fluorescent lights, and you have to punch buttons on a computer, and you have to do a real job, unlike me, who gets to do this goof off and call it work. Well, the good news is you get to take a break. You're legally mandated to get breaks throughout the course of the day. And if you're anything like me, when you get the opportunity to take that break, I know what you're going to do. You're going to walk down the hallway. You're going to go find that one coworker you like, and you're going to say, hey, buddy, Rob Brown's been talking about college football all week live from SEC Media Days. What do you say me and you go talk some football? And you're going to talk sports. And if you're going to talk sports, you got to know what's going on in the world of sports. And if you need to go, you need to know what's going on in the world of sports, I have wonderful news for you. You've come to the right place because we do this. It is the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top 3 sports stories you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports with your coworkers. When you do, this is what you are going to be talking about. Let us dive right in with item number 1. A couple of basketball stories for you right out of the gate. We open it up with a massive bit of news in the NBA. Bradley Beal has agreed to a buyout with the Phoenix Suns and will immediately sign with the LA Clippers on a 2-year, $11 million deal with a player option attached to it for next year. That according to his agent. The player option for next summer does clear Bradley Beal, who is only 32 years of age, to potentially become one of the top available players in free agency next year. But he will spend 1 year with the Clippers, where it's kind of an interesting fit, because I would make the argument that with Kawhi Leonard, with James Harden, with Brooke Lopez, this team is a team full of dudes, adding Bradley Beal. And I do not think that Bradley Beal is on his last leg, but he's 32 and he ain't going to be playing LeBron years, right? Like, Bradley Beal's probably got 2, 3, maybe 4 or 5 top-notch NBA years left in him. And so who is he suiting up with next year? Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, and Brooke Lopez. Now, if you told me that that was the roster that you assembled, Lonzo, in, I don't know, 2015, I'd have said that team's winning a title next year, right? Because Kawhi Leonard, to me, feels like the balance to James Harden. Bradley Beal.
See, I don't know. James Harden doesn't win titles.
James Harden doesn't win titles, but do we... This is probably a much longer discussion than I need to have in the 30
Remember
seconds.
Remember who you started with.
No. I agree. I agree. But James Harden. I have kind of come almost full circle on James Harden. James Harden with the Oklahoma City Thunder. I blamed James Harden for that big three of him and Durant and Russell Westbrook for not winning a title. I blame James Harden for that. And looking back at it with the hindsight being 2020, I really actually think that was an organizational failure at the time, because it was just those big three. I felt like it was an organizational failure now. And I've kind of come around on James Harden. It's like, this dude probably deserves to be mentioned inside the top 25 players of all time. I think he's that good. But I also think he knows that Father Time is undefeated, and he's in round 9 with Father Time right now. Kawhi Leonard, who I love as a player. Kawhi Leonard's given me some of my favorite basketball memories from the Spurs and the Raps and all these different moments that he's had. Love Kawhi. He's deserved to have a better career. Putting Bradley Beal with these two guys, when they both, I think, understand that time is running short, adding Brooke Lopez to just kind of be, just, I just need you to be a dude in the middle. I don't need you to be spectacular. The scorers are on the outside. I just need you to be good enough. And then you added John Collins into that mix as well. I'm intrigued by what the Clippers could be next year. Other basketball story, Caitlin Clark, the Indiana Fever forward, is up in the air with her injury. She was yanked from a game on Monday with a groin injury. She did not play, excuse me, Tuesday with a groin injury. She did not play in last night's back-to-backer against the New York Liberty. She was yanked with a groin injury, and her status has now been declared as uncertain by the team. Caitlin Clark, obviously one of the two all-star captains for WNBA All-Star Weekend this weekend, was also named a participant in the three-point shooting contest, was announced as a starter and captain for Saturday's game. Now we're up in the air. We don't know if Caitlin Clark will be available. Stephanie White, head coach of the Fever, told reporters that Clark, quote, felt a little something in her groin, end quote. The team came out yesterday and said, we've been doing evaluations, but we just don't have anything yet. So status for not just the All-Star game, but status for Caitlin Clark after the All-Star game is now up in the air. And one more just forward. Phoenix Mercury forward Satu Sabali will not play in the All-Star game on Saturday because of an ankle injury. She announced that last night on social media. She was picked for Team Caitlin Clark. Averaging a career-high 19.1 points per game. Has not played, however, since the Mercury's July 3rd loss at Dallas. She has been out for 2 weeks in rehab and has decided she just does not want to push it to get back for the All-Star game on Saturday, which is, I think, more than understandable. Let's get to item number 2. A couple of All-Star or All-Star-related stories, and by that I mean I'm going to give you an All-Star story, and then I'm going to wedge another All-Star story into it. MLB's All-Star Game TV ratings did drop, and I mean both in terms of we got the news and the ratings dropped. A 3.5% decrease in overall viewership for the MLB All-Star Game. Averaged just over 7.1 million viewers on Tuesday night. So on one hand, it dropped, and that's bad for Major League Baseball. But there are a couple other things. Number one, last couple All-Star games haven't been as entertaining as this year. As entertaining as this year was, both the Home Run Derby and the swing-off to end the All-Star game, I think the number probably ticks back up next year. Obviously, I don't really know how the metrics work as far as including streaming. I was watching that game on my laptop at the hotel, at a bar. Does that count? I was watching the Derby on a laptop. Does that count? I don't know. Here's what I do know. It peaked at about 8.1 million viewers from 9:15 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And there are two good things going for Major League Baseball here. The first one is that the MLB All-Star Game was Fox's most watched telecast since the Super Bowl and the network's best audience for a Tuesday night game of any sort since last year's Game 4 of the World Series. Baseball also will continue to own the claim to the most viewed All-Star product in all of a major American sports scene. The NHL didn't have an All-Star game this year. They did the Four Nations face-off instead. Ratings were very good, but nowhere near baseball. The NBA All-Star game has been averaging about 4.7 million viewers over the past few years. That is the same number as the NFL's Pro Bowl games. Just for a comparison, Monday night's Home Run Derby averaged 5.73 million viewers on ESPN, a 5% increase over last year. And then the other All-Star game that I am going to wedge in here, it was announced yesterday that Charlotte, North Carolina will be the site of the 2026 MLS All-Star game. The MLS All-Stars and whoever they play internationally as their opponent will descend upon Charlotte, North Carolina next year. And you better believe your boy's going to be in Charlotte for the MLS All-Star game next year. By the way, Rizza, real quick aside, since I mentioned soccer, Leo Messi's MLS record streak of scoring 2 goals in 5 consecutive games came to an end last night as Inter Miami absolutely crapped the bed and lost to FC Cincinnati 3-0. On the other side, Cincinnati's all-star midfielder Evander kept a streak of his own going, has now scored in 5 consecutive games for FC Cincinnati as they end Leo Messi's streak and Miami's win streak. Let's get to item number 3. I don't know that this is necessarily a news story that is going to make the rounds more than it did yesterday, but I did find it interesting. Lane Kiffin back in the news yesterday. Lane Kiffin said after departing SEC media days, in an article that dated back to July 15th, Kiffin said he wanted to see the 16 best teams make the college football playoff with no automatic bids for conference champions at all. That kind of flew under the radar because the majority of the SEC coaches have said, we want a 5+11 model, 5 highest rated conference champions, and then the 11 best teams at large. Lane Kiffin said July 15th, he just wants the 16 best teams with no AQs for conference champions. Of course, he would say that as his team was number 14 in the rankings with a 9-3 rating last year. But that was not what made the news, at least in our neck of the woods. Lane Kiffin said that, quote, I had a coach that played Clemson last year say, put Clemson on my schedule every week compared to playing SEC teams, but there might be years that also the ACC really does have real teams, end quote. Ole Miss head coach Lane Kiffin saying that an SEC coach who played Clemson last year, and we looked it up, there's only 3 it could be. It's either Kirby Smart at Georgia, Shane Beamer at South Carolina, or Steve Sarkisian at Texas. Those are the 3 SEC teams played last year. Lonzo and I both got money on Kirby Smart. That sounds like a Kirby thing. It doesn't sound like a Steve Sarkisian thing. Doesn't really sound like a Shane Beamer thing either. So I think if this story is true, it's probably Kirby. But I think the point was not an attack on Clemson. I think the point was, and I could be wrong. Maybe I'm misreading this. Maybe I'm just trying to give Lane Kiffin too much of a benefit of the doubt here. I think the point that Lane Kiffin was making here was the SEC is deep, and it's been deep for a long time, but this year it is as deep as I can remember this conference being. The ACC is not. The ACC is it's just a bad conference right now. There's Clemson, and I know that's kind of been a running joke for Lonzo for some time, is like Clemson is the ACC. I don't think it's a joke this year. I think Florida State's going to be an 8-4 team, 7-5 team. They'll be bowl eligible this year. They'll be better. I think Jeff Brohm at Louisville's trending up. I think Brenke at Georgia Tech faces immense challenges at a tech school in the middle of Atlanta, but I do think that Brent Key's the guy to take that team to the next level. Now, they're like eight levels from being a playoff team, but I think he is the guy to take them to the next level, point them in that direction. There's optimism around Jeff Brohm at Louisville. There's optimism down at Miami that, yeah, we had Cam Ward last year, but, you know, this is our year. It's a better overall roster, even with the loss of a number one overall draft pick. There's hope for Miami. But the point that I think Lane Kiffin was making was, Clemson week to week in the ACC is playing more bad teams than good teams. And if you believe in the philosophy that iron sharpens iron and good teams get better by playing other good teams, SEC teams have to do that week in, week out, and will have to do it this year with the deepest this conference has been in a long time. Clemson doesn't. And I think the other coach, if there is one, and Lane's telling the truth, was effectively saying, I would rather play a team that has soft competition more than competition like we have to play. I'd rather play that team then have to play a team that is playing top-notch competition week in and week out. It's just a team that's not as prepared to play a team like an SEC team that is. And you guys know I have fought back against this narrative for as long as I remember. I've been fighting back against this SEC narrative since I moved here to Greenville, South Carolina, but I can't fight it this year. This year it's 100% true. It's the deepest conference in America. It is the best conference in America. I'm not saying it's going to have the best team in America. I am saying it's the deepest conference in America, and there's something to say for that. How do I know that? Because yesterday, I sat down to vote on my projected order of finish in the Southeastern Conference. And when we come back, I'm going to give you that projected order of finish. I'm going to tell you how I stacked the teams up to finish in the SEC this year. And I want your thoughts and your reaction. Who do I have too high? Who do I have too low? I am going to give you my projected order of finish next, and we will get your thoughts on it after this. It is the Rob Brown Show, live from the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta, Georgia. Presented by Ingles. You're listening to The Fan Upstate.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates. From all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Live from SEC Media Days here at the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta, Georgia. It is a special edition of the Rob Brown Show presented by our friends at Ingles. Low prices, love the savings. The fourth and final day of Media Days is kicking off here in just about an hour and a half from now. If you're not following us on our social media channels at the Fan Upstate and following me at the Rob Brown Show, you're missing out. I am going to be going live a couple of times throughout the day here in the final day of SEC Media Days because there's just a lot going on and a lot of conversations that are taking place. But yesterday, myself and the rest of the assembled media here at SEC Media Days were asked to vote on the all-SEC teams and were asked to vote on the projected order of finish for the Southeastern Conference. I want to give you my projected order of finish, and I want to see where you think I got it right, got it wrong, who do I have too low and too high. Here is the projected order of finish that I submitted on my official ballot yesterday. I put the University of Georgia at number one. I'll tell you why I did that. We have talked about Arch Manning at Texas, and most of the folks that I have spoken to that do believe Texas is a Southeastern Conference champion this year, a national champion this year, they've pinned it all on Arch Manning. This guy's going to be a guy. He's going to be a dude. Arch is going to be another Manning. He's going to be spectacular. I also don't think it's unfair to have questions about that. You know who else doesn't think it is unfair to have questions about that? Arch Manning. Arch Manning has said at this very event just a couple of days ago, Arch Manning said, look, what have I accomplished? What have I done? He said, I played what? And I'm in this case, directly quoting him, he quite literally said yesterday, I've played two games, right? Like I don't get it. Now, we talked about Lenora Sellers earlier this week, and I pointed out the fact, and I absolutely loved that. You know, Lenora Sellers was asked about the Heisman hope. Lenora Sellers was asked about the fact that fans in Columbia are apparently calling him La Heisman this year. Cool, great, fun, awesome, whatever. Arch Manning got asked kind of the same question of what do you think is the hype for you? Do you think it's justified? Do you think it's fair? Do you think it's valid? And I'm trying to find the sound. I have it somewhere in the roster. But he basically said, look, I've played two games. Like, I even Arch Manning says, I don't know where the hype is coming from this year. I do not I think I found it. I don't know if this is the right clip or not, but I got a clip from Arch Manning talking about it. Well, I got to play through something first. I'll come back to it in a minute, but because I want to finish the rest of the projected order. I think it's fair to ask the question, to ask questions about Arch Manning. So when I look at these two teams, Texas and Georgia, who I think are very close to each other, I trust Kirby Smart more than I trust Steve Sarkisian in a big game. I trust Kirby Smart to know the right guys at the right time. And on top of that, well, I do think that as World's Strongest Man and WWE champion turned Texas Longhorn football analyst Mark Henry told me earlier this week, Texas is going to be able to run the ball. But you know what Georgia's done with the run game and those big brawling offensive linemen the last couple of years. And on top of that, I think they're going to be a better overall defense than Texas is going to be this year. Texas is going to be very strong in the defensive backfield. I think they have two of the top 10 DBs in college football this year. But I just think Georgia's a little bit better overall. And if it comes down to those two teams playing in Atlanta at the end of the year, I trust Kirby in a big game more than I trust Steve Sarkisian. I did put Texas at number two because I still think, even with all those questions, I just still think they're better than everybody else. And again, Steve Sarkisian in the regular season, great coach. High-pressure games in the regular season, no problem. For whatever reason, it's just bowl games and playoff games that Sarkisian starts calling spread end-arounds on goal-to-go situations when they've been powering their way to the end zone every time. So Georgia 1, Texas 2. I got Alabama at number 3. I like Kalen DeBoer a lot. I think Kalen DeBoer is fine. I think he's going to be good. There are obviously questions for this team as well. This is going to be the narrative for a lot of the rankings. Questions about the quarterback spot at Alabama with Ty Simpson, a guy who has not been talked about at this event. I believe Alabama didn't even bring Ty Simpson to this event, which I think maybe says a lot about kind of where they are with this guy. But they got a guy named Ryan Williams at the wide receiver spot who's an absolute dude. They are going to have probably two or three all SEC defensive backs. And I really think with a year in the back pocket and adding some more of his dudes to the roster, I think Kalen DeBoer is going to have this team competitive. Alonzo, you were about to say something.
I was going to say this is where I have a problem, because I don't see how Alabama is better than South Carolina. They had the same exact conference record. They had the same exact overall record. And South Carolina has a returning quarterback. They have a bunch of other guys coming back, and I don't see how you have Alabama ahead of them.
I have Alabama ahead of them for one reason and one reason alone. And this is, I was yesterday, I was trying to be critical of South Carolina because I realized I spent the first 2 days talking about all the great things. Shane Beamer, great culture-building coach. Guys are all bought in. Everybody I've talked to from South Carolina is in love with Shane Beamer, as they should be. Buddy of the show, Shane Beamer. Lenore Sellers, I think he's going to New York City at the end of the year for the Heisman Trophy celebration. Returning quarterback. Proved it last year. As far as I'm concerned, a lot of people here think he has more to prove this year. That's fine. I don't take issue with that, but we've talked about the defense. We had DQ Smith on back on Monday. Played that interview for you on Tuesday. If you missed it, go to thefanupstate.com. Go to the podcast page. Drop it down to the Rob Brown Show. Go back to Tuesday's show in hour number two, I believe. We talked to DQ Smith. One of the things about the defense that I like, yeah, you lost talent like Nicky Minwori that went to the league, sure. You also have a lot of experience, a lot of third and fourth year guys on that defense, guys that have been through it, both the lows and the highs with Shane Beamer the last couple of years. I like the defense, but I tried to be critical yesterday, and the most critical I can be about this football team is this. When I got the ballot for all SEC selections to fill out my all SEC team, one of the first things I did was went to the page where the offensive line were listed to see who's got the most all SEC team nominated players. I think South Carolina had one. It's just not going to be a good offensive line. That's your big problem. And as much as I know Lenore Sellers can get to the outside and skedaddle a little bit, here's the problem. If defenses are able to get pressure on Lenore with four, and he's not able to stand in a clean pocket and deliver the football down the field, so teams know that if the ball's coming out, it's coming out quick, what do they get to do? Play press, play up, bring a guy, and have one Lenore Sellers spy every single play to remove or at least try to limit his run game. Alabama doesn't have that problem. They have got an offensive line that is exceptionally good. Ty Simpson will have more time in the pocket than Lenore Sellers. Now, with that being said, if you have that belief, and I'm 100% fine with it, you're not alone in that belief, great one. I put South Carolina at number four in this conference, and I did put them there because of all the good things that I mentioned a minute ago. And one more thing, which is this. If that offensive line is not very good this year, if it is a step back across the O-line for South Carolina, which a lot of people here think it's going to be, if that is going to be true, there are two things that you can do to help out Lenore Sellers. Number one, run a pro style that revolves around getting the ball out of the pocket ASAP in the pass game. Well, Mike Shula's here, NFL pro style offensive coordinator, and I think that's the reason that he is here, is it is knowledge that that is what is going to be required of the offense this year to help out Lenore Sellers. So you address that. The second thing that you can do is at least once every 20, 25 plays, you got to let Nick Harbor turn on the track star speed, right? Get down the field on a nine route, maybe cut it inside of the post. Try to create a world in which you run a couple of underneath cross routes to hold a cornerback, get Nick Harbor on the out route nine or on the post route, whatever, on the flag route, whatever. Just get him down the field, and every now and then, just tell Lenore, man, bleep it, Nick's down there somewhere. And throw that thing 70 yards down the field, and let's see if Nick Harbor can make him play. Now, it's going to rely on Nick Harbor having hands. He had some drops last year that were very problematic for Lenore Sellers. If he was able to erase that, if he's more comfortable with the football this year, and he can catch a couple of big-time plays, now what have you done? You've taken the top off the defense. You've shown you're a deep ball threat, even with an inferior offensive line compared to the rest of the SEC. Now defenses have to play back. They've got to have a too high look. They've got to have cornerbacks man locked on the outside or zone locked to the outside, because you know whatever side Nick Harbor's on, a safety's bailing with him to go deep. Now the defense has to play a little bit more honest. And I think that Shane Beamer knows that, which is why Shula's there. I've got Georgia 1, Texas 2, Bama 3, and I went ahead and put South Carolina at number 4. But here's where it got interesting. I honestly think from 4 to 11, I think 4 to 11, South Carolina included, and I'm going to give you the rest of the 16 teams when we come back in a minute. I think 4 through 11 in my projected order of finish, I think you could jumble them up in any way. I think you could spin a wheel and pick them name by name from 4 to 11, and any outcome you come up with is a legitimate possibility. I think any outcome that you come up with is a legitimate possibility, and I'm going to explain why. I'm going to give you 5 through 16 when we come back here in just a minute. Then we'll get your response to open up the 8 o'clock hour. I'm not going to talk a bunch of ESPYs because, I just don't really care all that much. But there was a great moment in last night's ESPYs presentation. There was a great moment involving a college football figurehead that I think we all love. And we'll talk about that to start the 8 o'clock hour. Projected order of finish next. A special edition of the Rob Brown Show presented by Ingles live at the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta, Georgia continues. You're listening to The Fan Upstate.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
A couple of comments on our live stream, which you can join at facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, TheFanUpstate on YouTube, TheFanUpstate on Twitter, or The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch. Jacob's popped by this AM. Shout out, Jacob, for showing up this AM. Said, Rob, love the Trash Panda hat. Did pick up the Rocket City Trash Panda hat, and I have to agree. It's a dope hat. I don't disagree. Austin showed up, said, didn't they play the wrong fight song when Steve Sarkisian went up to speak, they did. Not only did they play the wrong fight song when Steve Sarkisian went up to speak, they played the Texas A&M War Hymn when he went up to speak. So they didn't just hit him with the wrong fight song. Hit him with a rival wrong fight song. I don't know if this is just me, like, being a college football fan, being a wrestling guy, whatever. The fact that they dropped the rival fight song on Sark, and Sark didn't get on that podium and start absolutely hammering that fact, the fact that he just went into his speech, like he got to the podium, the Texas A&M Aggie War Hymn song plays, it ends, and he goes, "Okay, everybody, great to see you all. Thanks for coming out." I'm like, dude, talk some time. Perfect how you are set up to talk some trash right now about your rival, and you're just gonna go into your speech. What kind of, like, what? Where's the heat, bro?
Yeah, you can't no sell something like that. You gotta.
Yeah.
I mean, right away, you know, I had something prepared, and I don't know why that idiot up there is playing their music.
Yeah, I mean, go off, King. Like, there's your moment right there to build a little drama, a little intrigue in your football team by being that guy. Instead, we got this mild mannered. Oh, okay, well, come on, Sark. I expect better, man. Austin said, O-line has always been a situation for South Carolina. Why did Austin say that? Well, because we are going through my projected order of finish in the Southeastern Conference. Yesterday, got the chance to vote along with the other members of the media assembled here in Atlanta, Georgia, on the projected order of finish of the Southeastern Conference's football schedule. And here is what I came up with. I put Georgia at number one. It basically came down to, if these two teams do indeed meet in the SEC championship game again, I trust Kirby Smart more than I trust Steve Sarkisian. I have questions about both quarterbacks. If I look at the rest of the roster, I think Georgia's is slept on. I think they have one of the better rosters in college football that nobody's putting in that top notch. You look at Texas, lost a lot of wide receiver depth. They got some young guys that they got a lot of faith and optimism in, but you lost a guy like Matthew Golden up to the Green Bay Packers, who I think is going to be a bona fide superstar at the NFL. You got to replace all that. And that's not something that you just do. And considering Texas is getting Ohio State out of the barrel, that team is a very good chance they start 0-1 and behind the eight ball from Georgia. So I'm going Georgia 1, Texas 2. I put Alabama at number 3. Lonzo, not a Kalen DeBoer believer, and says, look, did they get better than a team in South Carolina who did get better, who almost beat them at their crib last year? And I think it's a fair line of thought, a fair line of logic there. I just think Kalen DeBoer, I think that South Carolina game last year, even though it is a game that South Carolina should have won, the loss to Vanderbilt was rough. I also think Alabama has stacked talent on the defensive side of the football, which was a problem for them to some degree last year. I got Bama 3. I've got South Carolina at number 4. And I gave yesterday, as I was doing this, I was trying to be as critical as I could of the Gamecocks, because I spent 2 days talking on other radio stations and podcasts around the country about, y'all, Lenore Sellers is the real deal. I got all these people here saying, oh, he's got to prove it. Did he not prove it last year? Did he not prove it in the games that they were in, the games that they won, and in the fourth quarter against the Clemson Tigers, an ACC champion and playoff team last year? I think he's already proven it. I think the only thing he has to prove is how good he can be at his best, and that he can win a couple of those Alabama LSU style games. But that, like, what a good spot to be in. I just think the offensive line is going to be a big question mark, a liability for the South Carolina team this year. And in a conference that is stacked, locked, and loaded with great defensive lines, I think that comes into play. Here's the rest of what I got. I got number 5, LSU. I think it's fine to have questions about Garrett Nussmeier. I heard Greg McElroy say earlier this week that he believes Garrett Nussmeier might be the best returning quarterback in the SEC this year. I'm not down with that. I don't agree with that. I think Garrett Nussmeier is going to be fine. I just don't know if he's going to be fine or he's going to be great. But I have mentioned LSU, Brian Kelly. I think he knows. Anything less than 10-2 this year puts him on a hot seat. Anything less than 7-5 this year, I think, gets him run out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I'm not alone in that. Yesterday, I talked with Matt Moscano from our Odyssey station down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He covers the Tigers. Matt has a reputation for being very critical of the local teams. In fact, the reason I had a conversation with him was I went up to tell him, because I listen to Matt regularly about the Saints. I went up to say, thank you for holding the Saints accountable. He said, look, they don't like me. I can't get press passes to go see the Saints play anymore because I am that critical. But I also think he's right most of the time. He's a straight shooter about the teams he covers. I talked to him, and I said, what happens if LSU goes 7-5? And he goes, I don't think Brian Kelly's the coach again next year. He's desperate. But I also think that desperate can bring out the best in you. Desperate can also bring out the worst in you, right? Every time you go hit on a girl at the bar, what do your boys say? Hey, man, don't seem so desperate. Desperate can bring out the worst in you. I think LSU's desperate, and I'm not banking on Brian Kelly suddenly becoming a top-tier coach because he's desperate. I got Florida at number six. I'm buying into the DJ Lagway hype, I think. I think I'm buying in on the Lagway hype. I think I'm in on this cat. Billy Napier is the question mark for me for the University of Florida. Number seven, I've got Tennessee. Step back in talent this year. Step up, much like South Carolina, in experience, guys. Maybe not the same level of talent they've had. They've lost some wide receivers to the portal the last couple of years, including Squirrel White, who's on his way down to Tallahassee to play for Florida State. I think they had a step back in talent, but I do think they have a step up in experience. A lot of guys that are coming back this year are, much like South Carolina on the defensive side of the ball, third and fourth year guys. And sometimes that can make up for a loss of talent. Guys that are disciplined, understand the system, have been in it for a couple of years, have played a bunch of games in it, that can help you out quite a bit. I think that will be the case for the Tennessee Volunteers. I've got them at number seven. At number eight, I've got Texas A&M in the Southeastern Conference. I've already told you a bunch of times, I'm a believer in Mike Elko. 2 years at ACC Media Days before Mike's last year at Duke. He sat across the table from me doing an interview. And while Elko isn't necessarily a guy like Brent Key at Georgia Tech, that makes me say, I want to run through a brick wall for this guy. He is a dude that I listen to and went, this guy knows how to build. I told David Nuno of TexAgs.com earlier this week, I see a lot of similarity. They do it different ways. They're different cultures. But the fact that Mike Elko is trying to establish a better culture at a school that believes they deserve better and on top of that have all the resources in the world to do it, I think Texas A&M is on a rebounder this year. Number nine, I got Lane Kiffin and the Ole Miss running Rebels. Lane has sold me on his quarterback. I'm not saying I'm all the way in. I'm saying I don't think he's going to be bad. And that was kind of the big question there. On top of that, you know Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin lives for those big moments. He lives for the opportunity to knock off Bama, to knock off Tennessee, to knock off Georgia, to knock off the powerhouses. I think they can get one or two of those this year, and that bumps them up a little bit. I got number nine, Ole Miss. And number 10, I've got Oklahoma. We'll hear from Brent Venables later on today. Listen, I'm getting to a point, and I say this with all due respect, because I think Brent Venables, you Clemson fans, you know exactly what he is as a coach. I am getting to the point, and this year I think we'll solidify it one way or the other, but I am getting to the point where I look at Brent Venables and I think maybe he's one of those guys that I call a Peter Principle coach, right? Like one of those guys I call a Peter Principle coach of great coordinator, but being a great head coach is it's a different world. It's a different atmosphere, and I just don't know if that's part of where he is. I think he's one of the best defensive coordinators in college football history. And I know that he is, from what I understand, taking a bit of a step back in the planning, implementation, and execution of the offense this year, which I think is the right call for Brent Venables. Just be a defensive head coach. I just don't know if he's got that in him. I got concerns about Brent Venables, so I got Oklahoma at number 10. Number 11, I've got the Auburn Tigers. I've said already, I think Hugh Freeze is already on the hot seat. I think anything less than at the worst 8-4 is going to end up with Hugh Freeze either. And if it's worse than 8-4, I think he's unemployed like Brian Kelly at the end of the year. If he goes 9-3, I think he's probably fine. If he goes better than that, then everything we've said about Hugh Freeze this offseason goes away. I just don't think they're going to do much better than 8-4. Number 12, I've got Mississippi State. I've got Vanderbilt at number 13. I'm a Diego Pavia guy. All right, I just am. I know everybody thinks that, Diego Pavia, you know, they beat Alabama. Rob Brown, you're ready to give the guy a Heisman. That's not true. It's not true. I don't think he's one of the best four or five quarterbacks in the SEC. What I do think is Diego Pavia has an enormous sense of confidence. Vanderbilt has added some dudes this year, and we talked a minute ago about the coaches I would run through a brick wall for. Clark Lee's one of them. I love this dude. At Vanderbilt. I love their head coach. He is a dude that we played last year. I've talked about this a couple of times this week. Clark Lee is a dude that I don't know how many halftime speeches from him I played last year, but it was a lot because the dude was getting me hype and I got zero connection to the Vanderbilt Commodores. I got them at 13. Number 14, I've got the University of Kentucky. Listen, Mark Stoops is a good coach. There's no arguing that. Problem is, this is the single worst roster that Mark Stoops has had. We talked about questions on the O-line for South Carolina, bumping them down behind Alabama. We talked about questions at quarterback. I don't know that there's a spot on the roster for Kentucky this year they don't have questions. Like, I'm not going to say that Shane Beamer caused this. I am going to say ever since Mark Stoops started calling out the funny dances in the sunglasses in the locker room of Shane Beamer, Kentucky's trended downwards. And I think this is the worst roster that he's had there. Number 15, I've got Mizzou. And then at number 16, I've got Arkansas. Arkansas might win three games this year. Arkansas this year might be like Florida State last year. They could be a 2-10 team, a 3-6 team. Now, here's the overall takeaway. Well, let's start with this. Lonzo, of the teams, Georgia, Texas, Bama, USC, LSU, Florida, Tennessee, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, Auburn, Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, UK, Mizzou, and Arky. Outside of Alabama, ahead of USC at 3-4, do you have any other spots you think I got it right or wrong in particular?
No, I'm good with everything else. That's just the one place. And you switch those two, and then it's exactly what I would have picked.
Okay, I'm good with that. Here is what I noticed. And by the way, I want your reaction to the Hub City Spartanburger text line is open at 844-326-3663. That's 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. Who do I have too high? Who do I have too low? John Dog has texted the show and said, you got number one right, Rob, and that's all that matters. Go Dogs. Appreciate that, John Dog. 844-326-3663. I will read your text on the air today. I want this to be a heavily listener interactive show for the final day of SEC Media Days. All that we have talked about, brought up, the interviews we've heard, etc. Your overall reactions to SEC Media Days the last 4 days, and your reaction to my projected order of finish in the Southeastern Conference. Here's the one thing I noticed that I think stands out about this conference. I think I could look at every team from number 3 to number 11. Number 3, Bama, USC, South Carolina, LSU, Florida, Tennessee, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, and Auburn. I can look at all of those teams, and I could genuinely say you can put them in any order, and you got just as good a chance as anybody else to be right. You could stack them. You could flip them on their head and go Auburn, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Tennessee, Florida, LSU, South Carolina, Bama, and you could be right. You could take the middle to the top. You could take the bottom to the middle, the top to the bottom, the top to the – you can take those teams in the middle. And I think you could put all of those names on scraps of paper in a hat. You could sling that hat around a little bit, mix them all up good, draw them out like lottery numbers, and any order – of 3 through 11 that you pulled out, I think is just as viable as a possible finish as any other order that anybody else would pull out of that hat. That's how close I think this conference is. I think Georgia, Texas are the clear front runners. And then I think from Bama, USC, LSU, UF, U10, ATM, Ole Miss, OU, and Auburn, I think that those teams could all end up with the exact identical records. Remember how last year we had the three teams at the end of the year that because South Carolina lost to both of them, they got bumped out of the playoffs instead of bumped into because of losses. I think we could have a round robin of like 8 different teams in the middle of the SEC this year. That's what this conference is, and that is more about depth and good teams than it is. Like, the ACC is going to be jumbled up too, but it's for a very different set of reasons. This is going to be jumbled up because there could be a handful of really good teams. All right. Here is what we are going to do. Real quick, John just popped into the live stream. Facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, TheFanUpstate on YouTube, TheFanUpstate on Twitter, The Rob Brown Show on YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook. John said, Sellers has not proven he can beat a team throwing the ball, and the D-line is going to take a huge step back. That will hurt the linebackers and secondary. Like I said, I got zero problem with being critical and having concerns about South Carolina. I think Lenora Sellers is special. I think he can do for South Carolina what Cam Newton did for Auburn, where they had some pretty good teams, but Cam elevated them to very good teams, playing for a championship against Florida State in 2013 and all that. I think Lenora's can do that. Do they have enough to finish and win a title? No. I don't think South Carolina has title. I think they have get into the playoffs because of Lenora Sellers, but I think all those criticisms from Jonathan are fair as well. All right, coming up in the next hour of the show. I don't really care about the ESPYs. Didn't watch them. Didn't really care about them at all. Went out and watched MLS footy last night. But there was a moment that I wish I would have known was coming, and I wish I would have seen. Lee Corso was honored last night at the ESPYs. He gave a short speech. I'm going to play that for you. We'll react to it when we come back. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if I was going to put on a giant mascot head to predict who was the winner of Sports Flashes, I would have a big old Lonzo head, which would probably be close to actual size. You get the point. Sports Flash.
I wouldn't say that with the size hat you're wearing. The Washington Commanders have agreed to a contract with veteran defensive end Von Miller. Miller ranks 16th on the all-time sacks list and spent the last three seasons with the Buffalo Bills after spending 10 with the stinking Denver Broncos. MLB's All-Star Game saw a drop in the TV ratings despite a dramatic AL comeback and the first ever swing off to determine a winner. The broadcast was still Fox's most watched telecast since the Super Bowl, peaking at 8.1 million viewers, but had an overall 3.5% drop in viewership. Three-time NBA All-Star Bradley Beal is on the move again, agreeing to a contract buyout with the Phoenix Suns and agreeing to a two-year $11 million deal with the LA Clippers. 32-year-old has a player option that allows him to become a free agent that could command a higher contract next year, but will spend this year with Kawhi Leonard and James Harden.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.